Everyone's thinking about dancing for rain. That's a noble thought. May I suggest that when you dance for rain, you need to empty your pockets before you empty your mind? When your mind is empty, imagine yourself alone under the sky. Maybe you're naked, maybe you're not. Lift your head up and face the sky and imagine a cool, soft rain falling on your face. Remember the feeling of that. The feeling. Do not try to put the feeling into words. Feel it. Remember the soft caress of water from the sky. Remember how good this miracle feels. Remember how the rain benefits all beings, including you. Remember the gift of that. Remember how good you feel. Let the rain from the sky fill your heart with gratitude. There is nothing else but gratitude. Gratitude, gratitude. Remember to thank our beautiful Mother Earth for the cool blessing of rain.
When the sun says goodnight To the mountain.
I am dreaming of the sun. Said good night,
Ray.
Rain, 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 rain. Beautiful rain.
Ray.
Rain, 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 rain. Beautiful rain. Oh, come.
Never come.
Oh, come.
Never come.
Oh, come to me. Beautiful rain.
Hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into yet another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nessler. With all the confusion, smoke, and dust, it's good to remember such a simple thing as rain, isn't it? A little soothing guitar music wouldn't hurt either. And one of the better guitarists in the world visited with KD&K's Terry Glasnap yesterday to talk about his music and his meditation practice.
We would like to welcome Johannes to the airwaves here at KDNK. Hello, Johannes.
Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
So good to hear you.
Excellent. Thank you.
This long-distance phone business is one of the miracles of our modern time.
Absolutely.
And you will be traveling to our area, and maybe we'll start out with that, because travel does seem to be one of your themes, and maybe in, you know, a sketch most recent that you've been doing, and what's coming up. Do you want to tell us and our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. Like regarding the upcoming shows?
Well, I'm going to list the shows.
Okay.
But where you maybe are going on your next tour?
Well, the next tour is, of course, Colorado. We also have shows in New York State. We just actually finished the Rochester Jazz Festival in New York State, which was an amazing event. We did that a couple years ago, had a huge crowd, and we just love going to different audiences, different parts of the world, and performing for people. And, you know, this is our way of just trying to make the world a better place by spreading the message of music.
And the music that you have most recently put out, the CD called Azul, is that how do you say that?
Yeah, Azul.
Azul, yeah. And maybe a little bit about that, because that is something, as we close out the interview, I'm going to play a cut or two, and then throughout the show today, I'm going to try to get in three or four, and might ask your help in that. But
sure.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's a lot of people who aren't familiar with my music or who I am, but I like to describe my music, especially my latest album, as sort of a mix between the Gypsy Kings and Carlos Santana. So you have that wide range of Latino or Spanish guitar sounds, from like a rumba flamenca to the electric guitar of like a Carlos Santana, that sort of Latin style. So on the album, you'll hear a whole wide range of different rhythms and different styles, all under the blanket of what I call a guitarra latino or Latin guitar. On this album, I tried to kind of go back to like a 70s influence, where you'd listen to an album, say, by Led Zeppelin, and you'd hear on that album all kinds of different styles. You'd hear acoustic, you'd hear soft songs, hard songs. And on this album, I have a little bit of that as well. You hear all kinds of different ranges, from like danceable music to music that makes you a little bit more introspective, festive music, sad music. It really covers the whole gamut of the Latin style.
And then this might be a good point for me to jump in with this. Your bandmates, tell us a little about those folks.
Yeah. Well, in my extended band, I have musicians from all over the place. On this latest album, for example, we had my drummer. He's from Greece. We have a bass player from Australia. He actually recorded some of the tracks in Australia. A wonderful percussionist from the Dominican Republic. I live there part-time, and funny. I met him on the beach a few years ago. He's just like a beach musician going around to different tables and, you know, sort of busking essentially. And I thought, wow, this is a great player. I'm going to have him record on one of my albums one of these days. And so on Azul, I was able to find him on the beach, got him down, and he recorded a bunch of tracks, and he was just amazing. Musicians from Cape Breton, which is the eastern part of Canada. Musicians from Cuba. So, you know, a whole wide range of ethnicities and cultures.
And it's turned out that many of your songs have been selected for use in television. And how did that come about? And if our listeners wanted to try to catch something or that show, do you mind filling us in on that account?
Sure. Well, basically, I guess, you know, my music is out there. And if there's a producer that's looking for a certain sound that my style fulfills, then they'll reach out. And so it's been used on, my music's been used on many different shows like Pawn Stars, Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, Rosewater, The Following. This is all off the top of my head. Californication. So a lot of the hit shows my music has been featured on.
And I'm going to jump in with many awards as well. And I'm going to just run through a few of these. It's very impressive. Guitarist of the Year, Canadian Smooth Jazz Awards, People's Choice Awards in the UK, Yamaha Guitars USA Influential Artist, number one on e-music on, it looks like, several charts, World Artist of the Year, TOMA Awards. Maybe you could tell me what that is, TOMA.
The CIMA, yeah, that's the TOMA Awards. I think that was the Ontario Music Award. There's another one called the Toronto Independent Music Awards, and also one in that as well.
And the Juno nomination, that is a big deal in Canada, isn't it?
That is, yeah. That's, I think, the equivalent to, like, the Grammys.
Fantastic. And how about 7 top 10 Billboard charting albums? Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, we are so delighted that you will be in our area. And before I get to that list, because there are numerous performances and appearances, I want to ask you about another part of your world, the world of divine earth, yoga and meditation. Tell me what role those themes, those aspects play in your life.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd say my first introduction to meditation was actually music. And I remember in my teens, I was practicing 8 hours at least a day. And, you know, pretty much every day, I was very committed, very consistent with my practice. And I think that was a form of meditation. And I didn't realize it at the time, because there's this intense focus, which we could call in yoga, dharana, which is like one-pointed concentration. So concentrating so deeply on something, it starts to work the mind in a certain way. And then by the time I reached my early 20s, I got interested in kung fu, which led me to be interested in Buddhism and meditation and philosophy and wisdom. And so that became a very integral part of my life, meditating and then eventually getting into yoga. And actually, when I was 24, I had what's known as a Kundalini awakening, which is sort of a spiritual experience. It's hard to describe, and if people are interested, they can search it online. And that was really a turning point for me spiritually and musically. And so by the time I was, the early 2000s, I started training in Kundalini yoga and eventually became certified in that. And that's primarily what I teach now when I give workshops and retreats and classes. But that's, like I said, a big part of my life, and that, of course, influences my music. I try to use my music as a way to uplift people and bring a little bit of harmony into this crazy world.
And we are certainly welcoming that here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kundalini Yoga, there is one of your appearances here, is a session at True Nature in Carbondale on July 14th. And folks, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, contact True Nature, look them up online. There is most likely a listing with information about that. And then just prior to that, you'll be in Denver on the July 10th. And what is the hall that you'll be, or the venue?
Yeah, it's called the Soiled Dove. I've never been there before, but I looked it up, and it looks like they've got a lot of great acts there. So it looks like a well-respected venue for concerts.
Yes, yes. I have certainly heard of that. And mm-hmm. then for our listeners, Glenwood Springs Summer of Music brings you here on the 11th. And that's the Wednesday night, and I'm pretty sure that's a 7 or 7:30 start for your part, but there will be an opening act, I think, coming on at 6:30.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And Heather's in Basalt on the 12th. And you might know that is right now kind of that area is where the fire is.
And
it's we're trying to update our listeners whenever we get information here. A lot of firefighters on that, a lot of concern in the area, and so the intent and the spirit of what you've described about your music is something that will be welcomed in a larger dimension. And so I want to thank you for bringing up that aspect of what music can do. And mm-hmm. And we'll come back to that. But I want to finish with the St. Regis on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And D'Angelico, is that how they call it? The guitar shop in Aspen. Is that a later in the evening on Friday?
Actually, it looks like we're moving that to afternoon.
Afternoon. Okay.
Yeah.
And folks, you can check that out, I think, through D'Angelico, through their website. Did I miss anything there of your...
I think you mentioned that True Nature was on the 14th.
Okay.
That starts in the morning at 11 o'clock.
Oh, good.
That's yoga and meditation and a concert as well.
Fantastic. That's a really nice palette of things that have... been set up for you. And mm-hmm. I'll just make a quick shout out to Martha, because she is how not how I learned about you, because I've been finding your CDs over many years, many recordings.
Oh.
And I don't know if Martha told you this, but I was playing a cut from Azul, and she happened to be listening and called in to tell me a little bit more about you. So I'm so terrific. All of these things have lined up for you. And maybe that is a really good segue into Divine Earth. That is something that I read about on your website, something that you have set up, created. Can you tell our listeners a little more about that?
Sure. So as I mentioned, spirituality has become a major part of my life. And I live that lifestyle as well. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I'm vegetarian. So, you know, I try to create a lifestyle that is as holistic as possible. And there's people who are interested in that kind of lifestyle. So I created Divine Earth, which is essentially a theme that this planet can be a divine place if we treat each other properly, if we treat the world properly, if we prize wisdom and intellect instead of ego. And, you know, on TV today, you see a lot of these people who are famous, but for what? You know, it's not like they're making a difference in the world. It's not like they're trying to really help people. They're just famous because, you know, maybe they're sexy, right? So it would be great if we had a world where we were more interested in how can we live better? How can we create more harmony amongst humanity, bring more peace, more love into all aspects of our lives? And so through Divine Earth, this is sort of the umbrella that I try to spread that message with.
And much needed it is in our time, mm-hmm. and in our valley right now. And
yeah.
to ask of you something that I might have missed that you would want to say about your music. So it's an open-ended question.
Sure.
Take the liberty to wander with that where you'd like.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, if people want to check me out, they can go to my website, which is johanneslindstedt.com, or they can go to guitar-guru.com, and that'll give them a little bit more information about me. And essentially for the concerts, you know, we put in a lot of energy. We often get people up dancing, people clapping their hands to the music, shouting out Olé. It's a real festive experience. You know, I try to make it an experience so that people, when they go home, they're going to be talking about it and remembering it and feel uplifted for more than just the duration of the concert. That's my goal.
Johannes, thank you so much for calling into KDNK and sharing some of your world with us, and next week, a whole lot more.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Terry.
Sure.
Looking forward to hopefully meeting you next week.
What's so terrible about peace, love, and understanding? As you heard, you have several chances to hear Johannes in disparate venues next week here in the Roaring Fork Valley to hear his brand of nouveau flamenco. You can also visit johanneslindstedt.com to learn more. That's johanneslindstedt.com to learn more. Well, you heard them mention his new CD, Azul. Here is Cha Cha Chu from Azul by Johannes Lindstedt here on KDNK's Express Yourself. Thanks for tuning in. from his brand new CD, Azul. That was Cha Cha Chu from Johannes Lindstedt. Johannes playing a free show next Wednesday at Two Rivers Park in Glenwood Springs, the Glenwood Summer of Music. And KDNK will not be broadcasting that show, so you're going to have to go down there to the park to see and hear that singular talent, Johannes Lindstedt. Two local ladies dropped by this morning at KDNK to explain a workshop for women that they are doing in 2 weeks that link yoga and blacksmithing. Well, joining the program now are two strong-voiced women. I have Lindsay Gurley with me. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Luke. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great.
And Olivia Pevick is here, too.
Hi, Luke.
What's up?
Oh, man, so many things.
It is like that right now,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and it's kind of ironic that we're here talking about your working with fire.
Indeed.
Yeah. In fact, well, we'll get to that. But so I guess it's all of a piece.
Yes.
It all works together.
Yeah, it does. It also brings up a lot of concern.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah. Well, people are out there scratching their head going, what are they talking
about?
What is going on?
What we're talking about is St. Bridget's Women's Blacksmithing and Yoga Workshop.
That's right.
When does that happen?
June 20th to July. Thank you. We are all the way past June. July 20th. To 22nd. So it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So a couple weeks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Over at where? Where is it?
At the CRMS Blacksmith Shop.
Oh, is that the one Francis Whitaker started?
It is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What's that facility like? I've never been there.
It's amazing. It's a nationally famous teaching shop. We have 7 forges, only 6 anvils at the moment, but... It's a beautiful place designed to teach blacksmithing, super rare facility.
Huh. Now, when you're working on a piece, do you need more than one anvil?
Not typically.
So in other words, there's room for 6 blacksmithers.
Yes, yes. And there's the way the workshop will be organized, there's actually room for 12, I think we decided that. And that's been my experience, especially with beginning smiths, is that 2 people working at a forge is really nice.
Yeah, you get to be in partnership.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting juxtaposition, yoga and blacksmithing. And the connection isn't immediately apparent to me. So, Lindsay, maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. So when Olivia and I were brainstorming this whole thing, we were thinking about how being embodied is really critical for blacksmithing. Something that really comes with smithing is... it's really strong and physical, so you have to be really present in your body in order to be mindful and not hurt yourself, and to also create enough force that you're actually making an impact and changing the shape of the metal. And so with yoga, the idea is that we're actually throughout the entire day we'll be integrating yogic techniques and philosophy in order to really be in a state of embodiment in order to feel really empowered to do the blacksmithing. So we'll start with an actual like yoga session in the morning where we'll get really grounded and connected, and then that'll integrate throughout the whole day before we strike the metal. If you're like even tending the fire, there's going to be all of this integration. So it's actually quite amazing because naturally witnessing Olivia in the forge, she's actually really always constantly working on being embodied and really connected with what's happening in her physical.
You're telling me when you strike the metal, mm-hmm. you have to be balanced and centered, and yoga helps that? Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah. The idea is that this is extremely physical work, and we are given these amazing machines. We come into this world and develop this incredible machine, which is our body, but we're not always taught about how it works and how the parts of it work together. And this is something that I've been dreaming with Lindsay for a number of years, actually, off and on, is applying the physical mental, emotional training that that yoga is to productive physical labor, and how we can be more healthy in our bodies and our endurance and our if we're mindful of our breath. And yeah, I feel like I could just keep on putting words on this, but really, I think it's about feeling it and doing it. And so you should just come and sign up.
So feeling what? Your inner rage? So you can it could be, that metal on the end?
It could be rage. I mean, you know, the Hephaestus is the Greek god of blacksmithing, and his story is all about tragedy, and mostly what he makes is weapons. But it's about channeling our force, our inner force, into productive work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And it's very it's a complex process of getting different parts of yourself to work together, working at the anvil. It's a little bit like being a kit drummer, I've been noticing. You know, you've got your left hand doing one thing, your right hand doing another, you're paying attention to your fire, you're trying to make something in particular. So it's a lot of pieces that need to come together. And I've been exploring this, I like to call it a game, called Smith Striker Fire Tender, where you separate... you separate the three main activities so that you can learn them individually and then integrate them. And so this has become a really fun metaphor to play with the fire as your spirit. The striker is the body and the smith is the mind. And so Lindsay and I have played that a little bit together. And do you have anything to say about your experience?
Yeah, it's been really cool going into the forge. I, as being someone that practices embodiment pretty regularly and tries and teaches it in to students and into the public, I held my breath like half the time that we would do it. Our first day in the forge, I was really nervous.
Yeah.
And then it is like, it's a lot going on. And so breaking it all up has really allowed me to like see the different parts and then also to tap into what's going on. So when I was the striker, for some reason, I stopped breathing. Mm-hmm. And then when I was tending the fire, I was so focused on it that I was like putting too much heat into it. And then I was burning the metal. So it was really amazing to get to see all the different elements. And then, the difference between striking the metal when I wasn't aware of my body, when I was more up in my head, was so different than when I like got my feet on the ground, felt my core, got centered, and then it was like, whew, and it was a like way better strikes.
Yeah, totally.
So it was
what
profound.
Constitutes a better strike? What makes a good strike?
I'll tell you.
I mean, it lands where you intend for it to land,
which is harder than it sounds.
It moves a lot of material. You know, it's there's a efficiency is a big aspect of successful metalwork. You know, we're burning fossil fuels, and no matter what your fuel is, you want to be efficient about its use. As soon as I start talking about it, I get half my mind gets drawn off into the metaphor of the whole thing. And I really feel like that's what this particular workshop is about, because efficiency and mindfulness in the blacksmith shop are the same as efficiency and mindfulness out in the rest of the world. You know, remembering to breathe while you're walking down the street is important as remembering to breathe when you're stepping up to the anvil or you're about to give a speech or, you know, any of these things where all of life, the more present you can be in your body and in your and connected to whatever activity you're undertaking, the more successful that activity is going to be, and sort of the more full the experience of life is, I find. So this workshop is about trying something new for most people. It will be a really new activity, which puts us in a very particular mind space, right? Like I'm about to do something I've never done before. It's a little bit scary. It's heavy. It's hard. It's
hot.
But
that's a big part of it, isn't it?
The hot.
Yeah, dealing with the hot.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like being yeah. comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Being able to be in the fire.
Right, and fire's scary to a lot of people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I mean, and maybe this is where we start talking about fire. Fire is powerful, scary stuff, as we're all
witnessing
right now. And like to go back to what you're saying about rage, it's really similar, right? Like it can get very out of control, or it can be an energy that we learn how to tend and harness and care for and be attentive to. So it's actual fire. It's real burning fire.
It's very hot.
It's a real opportunity to get intimate with the fire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of fire, mm-hmm. you also had a couple of workshops scheduled for Intro to Blacksmithing.
Yeah.
One of which was this coming weekend, starting today, tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
But you have an announcement about that.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Yeah. So I'm canceling the first Intro to Blacksmithing workshop, which was scheduled for this weekend. Because it seems like a bad idea to light hearth fires. And so it's not the time to be lighting fires right now.
Nobody should light fires
of any kind right now. Our forge is very well engineered and designed to keep the fire where it belongs, but it's just not worth the risk. And my fingers are crossed tightly and my heart is wide open to welcome the rains this week so that we can do the Intro to Blacksmithing workshop that will be July 14th and 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Still space, please sign up.
So, and where can people do that?
You can sign up for all these workshops, the St. Bridget's Fire and the Intro to Blacksmithing workshop at CRMS, and their phone number is 963-2562, and they're taking all the registration.
And you're limiting attendance to this to women, is that correct?
St. Bridget's Fire is for women only.
Okay.
Who
was St. Bridget?
St. Bridget was she's a Catholic, an Irish Catholic saint, who was born into slavery and achieved her sainthood by always taking care of the people in need around her. She was a milkmaid and a brewer and kind of a general maker and a keeper of the hearth fire. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And she was Celtic originally.
She was. I mean, long enough ago that the Celts and the Catholics were living side by side. Mm-hmm. She was raised by a druid, born into a Catholic household, I believe. Her father a chieftain, her mother a slave. Thus, she was also a slave. Yeah.
Apt name.
Which, Bridget?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she ever have a manicure?
A manicure? I don't know.
Did you ever have a manicure?
I think I have had one manicure. Yeah. What a waste of money.
Show me your hands.
I'm a nail
very
bite.
Strong hands.
Yeah, definitely. A couple scars, some dirt under the fingernails, a real Smith's hand.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Huh.
Hooves. So you're hooves not, for palms.
So you're not afraid of heat. You're not afraid of sweating. You're not afraid of dirt.
No.
I think it's good, too, because blacksmithing tends stereotypically to be a male-oriented activity or profession. And that was something I was really pulled to when Olivia and I started chatting about this because, I mean, let's break the barriers, gender norms, not into it.
Yeah.
But also, it's really empowering to be in there and to start a fire, to keep the fire going, to see the metal turn bright orange, and then to actually shift the shape of that metal.
Yeah,
it's so powerful.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't help but think of the power that it takes to make the blow to actually strike really well.
Yeah. And
how heavy are those hammers?
There's all different.
Yeah, we have an array. We have an array, which is good because we'll be working both in teams, which is what Lindsay and I have been talking about mainly with the Smith Striker Fire Tender. In that scenario, we're swinging like 8-pound sledgehammers. We also have some lighter options and some heavier options. Depending on who comes, we're going to find the hammer that fits you best. And then when we work individually, and that's the integration of all of those parts together, then the hammers are from like 650 to 1,000 grams. So the conversion, I'm not really sure about the
smaller
hammers.
And you keep talking about pushing around metal. It's steel.
Oh, it's steel. Iron is an element. Steel is the alloy. I might have some wrought iron, which is a lot less carbon than your average mild steel, which makes it softer. It's a wonderful material. But we'll be mostly working with mild steel, which is kind of the industry standard buy from the mill stuff. At about 1700 degrees, it is glowing yellow. And at that point, and all the way down to like a pretty bright red, it moves a lot like plasticine or clay.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we might play with some plasticine to imagine what we might do. That's a really fun kind of pre-fire material to get an idea of what's going to happen to the metal when you're working with it.
And is the object for attendees to come away with a piece that they made to take home?
Yeah. Yeah. The idea is you'll have a couple of small projects that you get to keep forever. And then I'm hoping to kind of talk people into making a flower to put on the Rio Grande Archway.
Oh, that okay.
That's coming up. So that's like your contribution to the Carbondale creative
art community.
Creative district.
Nice.
And
that's
sort
cool.
of
that's
the,
really cool.
the yeah. immortalization of the work that you have done.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So and that'll be a collaborative piece, correct?
I think everybody's going to make one.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Both of you, Olivia Pevick and Lindsay Gurley. Let's talk again about how people can sign up and when it is and all the details.
Great. So Intro to Blacksmithing, not this weekend, but the following weekend. That's July 14th to 15th, Saturday and a Sunday. And then St. Bridget's Fire is July 20th to 22nd. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I notice you've got a catered meal.
Yeah. We haven't talked about that. The Guesthouse Colorado, which some of you may have noticed, is landing big splashes all around. They are going to be providing a completely locally sourced lunch for the St. Bridget's days of the St. Bridget's weekend. Mm-hmm. And
then a celebration afterwards.
And a celebration after. So we're going to wrap up at 13 Moons Ranch, clink some glasses, spend some really nice outdoor by the river time integrating and enjoying each other's company away from the fire.
Yeah, so you're integrating fire and water.
Yes. Yeah. This intends to be a an all elements weekend for sure.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds really great. What a great idea, both
yeah.
of you.
And then so signups are at CRMS, 963-2562. Marlon and Lolly will be delighted to write down your name for me.
Well, Lindsay Gurley, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Olivia Pevick, thank you.
Thanks, Luke. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It sounds like they've done their homework, doesn't it? They've thought it through. I really like it when they make that emphasis about channeling their inner force and in a productive manner. That number once again to reserve your spot at St. Bridget's Women's Blacksmithing and Yoga Workshop coming up in two weekends from now. The one the weekend before Mountain Fair is 963-2562. And Olivia, of course, is also known hereabouts for being the front woman for Let Them Roar, who play in Sopra Spark this weekend in the second Sunday concert series in Carbondale. Katie and Kay will broadcast that show Sunday afternoon beginning at 4 o'clock. Local band Banjira, featuring Sonny Morehouse and Eric Baumheier, open the show, followed by Let Them Roar. So let's listen to some music from Banjira's new recording. Here is their original tune, Try Again.
Walking and walking, but getting nowhere. Only digging a hole with my own two heels and calling out for a prayer. Yeah, I got to try again. Even when it feels like I just can't win. Try again. Cause you never know when your ship is coming in. Well, lately I've been watching all my friends trying so damn hard. And I hope that when they fall at the end of the day, that it ain't back into the bar. Yeah, they got to try again. Even when it feels like they just can't win. Try again. Cause you never know when your ship is coming in. So when you can't do no more walking, just stand still and dance. Think of just one good thing that you got. Don't you give your troubles another glance. Oh, try again. Even when it feels like you just can't win. Try again. Cause you never know when your ship is coming in. No, you never know when your ship is coming in.
That's Banjira. Banjira opens the second Sunday concert series in Sopra's Park this Sunday, opening for Let Them Roar. Sonny Morehouse and Eric Baumheier sounding good. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. And I want to thank all those who are expending a lot of effort in keeping that fire tame. Stay tuned for fire updates coming up, local news, all things considered, all of that coming right up. And I want to send out a very gracious thank you to all the firefighters. Thanks for tuning in. Here's a prayer for rain. Everyone's thinking about dancing for rain. That's a noble thought. May I suggest that when you dance for rain, you need to empty your pockets before you empty your mind? When your mind is empty, imagine yourself alone under the sky. Maybe you're naked, maybe you're not. Lift your head up and face the sky and imagine a cool, soft rain falling on your face. Remember the feeling of that. The feeling. Do not try to put the feeling into words. Feel it. Remember the soft caress of water from the sky. Remember how good this miracle feels. Remember how the rain benefits all beings, including you. Remember the gift of that. Remember how good you feel. Let the rain from the sky fill your heart with gratitude. There is nothing else but gratitude. 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 Remember to thank our beautiful Mother Earth for the cool blessing of rain.
To the mountain,
I am dreaming of dawn. Said good night.